absolute of ours to praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, sir.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
I'm speaking on the main theme for the 40 days. I'm talking on what I call understanding extraordinary help. Clap your two hands for the Lord. God sent me for extraordinary help, so he gave me a message. Doesn't matter what somebody preaches, my message will still be unique. Amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So I'm dealing with the extraordinary. I'm starting this series from today. I've been doing other things and allowed others to also teach. But from today, I'm beginning this new series, and each night will be hot prayers. And I'm going to do today, I'm dealing with just the main theme and just the main character for the whole program, which we call King Uzziah. So it's going to be a case study on the life of King Uzziah. It's going to be a case study. I'm going to make argument only in the context of King Uzziah. But after some weeks, or after this week, I will now delve into other stories of God's help. But I am going to focus mainly on King Uzziah this morning, and maybe the next time I speak. So the extraordinary help of God, a case study of King Uzziah. A case study of King Uzziah. Now, what do we mean when we talk about extraordinary? When we say something is extraordinary, a dictionary definition means very unusual, or remarkable, something that is not the usual thing. Idea intense, something that is not the usual, something remarkable. It means marvelous, something that makes you wonder, something that makes you wonder, something that marvels you, or something that makes you wonder. That is why where we use extraordinary help, the Bible says that for Uzziah was marvelously helped. That means extraordinary is the same as marvelous. Do you get it? Something that makes you wonder. Something that is beyond the ordinary. Can I hear an amen? Or can I hear an amen? So something which is extremely good, something which is splendid, something which attracts the awe of men. Hallelujah. Now, what is the meaning of help? What is the meaning of help? Help simply means to make easy. To make easy is a dictionary definition. To make easy or possible for someone to do something by offering services or resources. To make it easy or possible for someone to do something, either by giving the person services or by giving the person your resources. Can I hear an amen? Oh, can I hear an amen? Therefore, when God is helping you extraordinarily, we mean he is using all his resources and all his powers to back you up, in order for things to become easy and possible for you in a wonderful way. When we say that God is helping you extraordinarily, what we mean is that God is using all his resources and all his powers at his disposal or available to him to back you, so that things will become much easy or possible for you. May that be your testimony. Oh, you are not here. I said, may that be your experience. May that be your testimony. Things will be easy for you. Things will be easy for you. And things will be possible for you. You see, when we say that things are going to be easy or possible, we are not saying that you are not going to do anything. We are not saying that you are going to be irresponsible. That's not what we are saying. We are not saying you are going to be irresponsible, or you are not going to do anything, and God, you will sit back and God is doing everything for you. No. When we say that somebody is helping you, it doesn't mean the person does the thing for you, but the person helps you to do the thing in an easy way. So for example, if as I'm holding this microphone, it will be very, very difficult for me to lift up this alone. It's not impossible. I can try to lift it up and it will lift up to a point. It's possible. But if this guy holds this side and helps me, we are able to do what? Lift it up. So because of help, I've been able to lift up this thing easily. Clap your two hands for the Lord. So he didn't lift it up for me, but he made it possible. And if not that you are seeing this guy physically, you would think that I'm a macho man holding this and also holding this up. Because the problem is that you can't see this one. Because when God is helping you, no man can see him. But they'll think you are a superman. They'll think you're an extraordinary man. Are you getting what I'm saying? But because you are seeing him, you now know that somebody is helping me. But if you were not to be seeing him and his invisible creature, you would have thought I'm a superman. Now when God is helping you, he's an invisible God. People cannot see him. So when they look at how things are happening to you in your life, they only say that, wow, this guy is a great man. This lady is a great woman. Wow, how she was able to achieve this. How he was able to do this. How he was able to do that. How he was able to build this. How he was able to achieve this. But what they don't know is that there is an invisible help that you are receiving. I stretch forth my hands in the spirit and I declare that everyone here who is trying to achieve destiny, who is trying to achieve something, may the invisible hand of God help you right now. May the invisible hand of God help your agenda. May the invisible hand of God help your plans. May the invisible hand of God help your ministry, help your career, help your marriage, help your childbirth. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Shall I receive it? And clap your two hands for Jesus. So when we talk about help, we are not promoting irresponsibility, but we are talking about advantage. See advantage. Oh, see advantage. See advantage. What is the use of a car? The use of a car is to give you an advantage over the one who is walking. The use of a car or a motorcycle is that the engine they put in is helping you to get there easier, to get there faster, without sweating, without dirty feet, without stress, so that you just sit relaxed and you are there. It is called help and it gives you advantage. Everybody can go for an interview, but if you are carrying a supernatural help, it gives you advantage. Everybody can be vying to catch the attention of that gentleman, but when you carry God, he gives you advantage. Everybody can be struggling to build in this economy, but when you carry God, he gives you an advantage. I pray that may God give somebody an advantage. May God give a student here an advantage. Everybody's learning, but you will learn with an advantage. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Everybody is selling, but you will sell with an advantage. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands. I say, I receive advantage. See, I receive advantage. And as a student, you need that advantage. I've been sharing with you number of times how I grew up with advantage above my mates. And my advantage was supernatural. That before I enter into examination, at least I see major questions. Not once, not twice. It became like a part of me. I see. I remember vividly one time in the university, as I was in the bathroom, as I was taking my bath, the Lord started showing me questions. I'm going to write exams, and I finished learning. I'm just taking my bath, and I started seeing questions in the bathroom. Only for me to rush and go back to the room and pick. Secondary school, I remember, very very important course that I would have failed because I wasn't really good in that area. But how the Lord showed me, I finished learning, I take my stuffs on my way to the exam center. Then I heard within my voice, go and read this particular topic. Read this one. The Lord showed me. It was a whole passage I have to be able to write on. Go and it was too late. I have left my dormitory. I left my cubicle. I was going. So that I had to just get back and look for the nearest washroom and enter. Then I opened the textbook. Then I started checking. Then I chewed the thing. They started the exam before me because I have to make sure I was chewing. After I enter, where are you coming from? You are late. You have to be careful. You are very lucky. You are almost. I just said, I sat down. When I opened, it was the first question, compulsory. First compulsory. It carried more marks than any other thing. Say advantage. when I open my textbook, I hear voices. I hear voices tell me, read this, do this. It's called advantage. Called advantage. My life is a product of advantage. Product of advantage. Amen. The product of advantage. You know a lot of my stories, but I'll keep sharing them because I have to boost the faith of somebody. I'm telling you. Where we are at men's room is not by strength, it's advantage. God made impossible possible. Who gives 12.5 billion cities land to somebody without money? Who does that? Say advantage. The person has not paid you, say, you don't worry, go. Build. Who does that? 12.5 billion. Who does that? Say advantage. Yesterday, as I stood there and I watched them, they started the construction. As I stood there and I watched them laying the blocks, I was shaking my head. I was with Brother Clinton. And he said, hey, rescue pan. I have sorry. And advantage. This is not by age. I said, when God is helping you, what God will make you achieve is not by age. It's not by chest size. It's not by... No! God will defy all the protocols. When Jesus appeared to the man, the protocol was that somebody must carry you into the water. The protocol was that you must fall into the water after the angel comes. But Jesus said, I will suspend the protocol. Rise up and walk without the angel coming, without you running into the water. Can I prophesy to 50 people here? Every protocol that is delaying your progress, they are saying that A must get here before B gets there. They are saying that unless your senior sister marries, you cannot marry. They are saying that unless your brother becomes rich, you, the younger, cannot become rich. I pray that God is suspending every protocol for you. I said God is suspending every protocol for you. God is suspending every protocol for you. Shout your loudest, amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Check yourself. We have not even started, though, but we'll close. Don't worry. Amen. So to make easy, we are just defining the terms. We are the defining terminologies. To make easy and possible, from today, you have to be, my life will be easy and possible. My life will be easy and possible. Things will happen with me with ease. Things will happen for me with ease. You see how God fed Elijah? 1 Kings chapter 17. Hunger, famine, test. He would have died like a normal human being, but God gave him advantage. God said, go to the river brook. I will cause you to drink from the river there. And I will send ravens to come and feed you. How many of you know ravens? Ravens are not bola birds. Ravens are not normal birds. Ravens are carnivorous birds. They are birds that eat flesh. They are birds that eat. If they get your body, they can chew it. They are birds that when they give birth, they break the egg and they eat their own child if they are hungry. Now, such an animal will bring you bread. Oh, talk to me. Such an animal, the one that is chewing his own children, will carry food in farming and come and give it to you. And it is not one. Oh, Bible says, I will cause ravens. 1 Kings 17, go there. Verse 2, 3 down. I'll cause ravens to bring you food. Not one raven. The birds were coming plenty. All of them were carrying food because the man is a big man. So small bird food cannot satisfy. More birds came. Day after day, they could not touch the food. Not even one bit. The reason was because God was helping a certain man to stay alive. When God is giving advantage, even the almost unlikely people, he can use them. I said what? The most unlikely people. In fact, the people you think that way, they don't pay them. They are the people God can use to shock you. So that you know that this one is from God. To shock you. May that be your testimony. I said, may that be your testimony. I said, may that be your testimony. Whatever happens to others in your family, you will have advantage over them. I just prophesied over somebody. I said, whatever happens to others where you operate, you will have advantage over them. God will help you. God will assist you. God will help you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. In 1 Kings 18:46, you saw how the hand of God came upon Elijah. And he ran ahead of the king's chariot. The horses that are reserved for the kings are the most healthy horses. The fastest horses. They are the horses that kings ride on. And the Bible says that from Mount Carmel to Jezreel was like Accra. When you check the distance from Bible maps, it's like Accra to after Kaswa. That was the distance. Accra to after Kaswa going towards Winneba area. That was the distance. How will a human being run from Accra to almost Winneba on foot? And Bible says that the king went ahead with chariot, not one horse. Best. It's like a human being who is running to overtake a Ferrari. Running to overtake those racing cars. Those sports cars. Is it not impossible? It's impossible. But when the hand of God comes upon you, he will help you. I said he will help you. When the hand of God comes upon you, it helps you. It gives you an engine that is not natural. That's why we call it extraordinary help. It's not normal. What will happen to somebody after today will only be extraordinary. I said it will be extraordinary. So let's look at the case study of King Uzziah. Let's look at King Uzziah's life. How God helped him extraordinary. That's our key character for these 40 days. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 1. Many, many helps are stated, all littered in scriptures. But I am particular about King Uzziah for this 40 days. King Uzziah was a man who was extraordinarily helped by God. Let's look at it. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 1. Now I want to read with the whole church from verse 1. Read the whole church. We are reading to verse 15. Let's all be upstanding and let's read it. After we read it today, from today anytime I'm preaching and I don't read, you know it already. So we are going to read all together. Everybody. Are you there? Are you ready? Alright. So, change the version so that we can start. I want them to read and understand without me explaining. Okay, so now, we are all going to read. I'm making you read so that when I don't quote the scripture again, you already know the story. So, this is the story of Uzziah. And if I'm preaching about Uzziah's help, then you must know his full story. So, I'm giving you at least half of it for today. From 1 to 15. 1, go. All the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, who was what? And made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. Go on. Let's be fast, please. He rebuilt Eloth and restored it to Judah after Amaziah the king rested with his fathers. Now, Eloth is a harbor, okay, a port. It's a port where the ships around the Red Sea, the ships, he built a port there for their ships to trade. So he built that port. Verse 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. He reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. Next. He did what was right in the Lord's sight, as his father Amaziah had also done. He sought God throughout the lifetime of Zechariah, the teacher of the fear of God. He sought God through who? Zechariah, the pastor Zechariah's time, who was a teacher of the fear of God. During the time that he sought the Lord, God gave him... Oh, are you reading with me? I can't hear some people from the back. Go on, verse 6. Went out to wage war against the Philistines, and he tore down the wall of Gath, the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod. Then he built cities in the vicinity of Ashdod and among the Philistines. You are looking at his conquest as long as he was serving God. God helped him against the Philistines. God did what? May God also help you. What age was he? Go on. God helped him against the... Tell somebody, you are not too young. The Arabs that live in Gebal and the Ammonites, go on. The Ammonites gave Uzziah tribute money, taxes. They paid as if he was their Lord. And his fame spread as far as the entrance of Egypt. May your fame spread wide. May the fame of your company stretch wide. May what God will do with you cause your fame to stretch wide. For God made him very, very... Verse 10. Go on. 9, sorry. Are we at 9 or 10? 9, please. Go there. One, go. Towers in Jerusalem. At the corner gate, the valley gate, and the corner buttress. And he fortified them. He strengthened them. So you can't enter into the city without they catching you. Because they are on towers. Towers. Go on. Since he had many cattle, many what? Both in the lowlands and in the plains. May you be rich at the estates. And may you be rich in the slums. You didn't hear what I said. I said, may you, around this Lagos Trasaco, may you have your own properties there. May you have your own companies there. And around the slums of Odoko and Father, may you also have properties there. And may you have slums there. That's Uzziah's story. Just read about Uzziah, a man helped by God. Say, a man helped by God. He built towers in the desert and dug many wells, source of water. And since he was a lover of the soil, he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands. Wow. Verse 11. Uzziah, the 16 years old boy, had an army equipped for combat that went up to war by divisions or groups according to their assignment as recorded by JL. That battalion, 64 battalion, whatever infantry. So different group. 60 years king. Who took over? Government. Now, do you like such a story? Do you like such a testimony? Or you want to end a nobody? Or you are too young to succeed? Tell somebody, I'm not too young to succeed. That's why I don't look down on myself. I'm too young. I'm too young to be a pastor. No. At all. I'm not too young to be your pastor. Because the doctors you go and meet in the hospital, when you go, they are older than you. But you go and sit down. For them to inject you with panic. Then the nurses that have been injecting you and you are crying, they are older than some of you. They are younger than you. You are older than the nurses who are injecting your bum bum like that. When you go to mechanic shop, the people who repair your car, a lot of them, are they not younger than you? But you are able, you see, big people are able to sit down for small mechanics to work for them, small lawyers to argue for them, small doctors to inject them. Even you see elderly woman who go, a small boy doctor will just check her private part for sickness. Call Ghana, call, you allow it. The only person he will speak against is when his pastor is young. Maybe ma suffer, I'm seeing the penny. Mama, me suffer. Baby, how? There's something wrong with you. There's something seriously wrong with you. If that's how you think, because all over your life, there are younger people doing things for you. All the old people, the only thing you do with the old people of your age, you go to funeral together. But every other thing around you is a young person who does it for you. If you are old. So a young pastor too can teach you the word of God. Yeah, a young pastor can teach you the word. Amen. So when somebody tells you that, now so even now corner, so for no see any penny, ask him say, oh, nipa no say you can no on who age yes. Next now question on or wow to pan you know. On who age? That's by the way. I'm just telling you, a 16 years old boy God was using. Verse 12. Let's finish the story. The total number of heads of families were 2,600 brave warriors. Wow. Under the authority was an army of 307,500 equipped for combat. Army with weapons. A powerful force to help the king against the enemy. May God give you people who make you great. He was 16 years old, but God gave him an army of great people. That's why he became great. Nobody will be greater than the people surrounding him, because the people around, the Bible is the multitude of the king of the people is the king's honor. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, armor, bows, and sling stones. He made skillfully designed devices in Jerusalem to shoot arrows. Have you seen what he's talking about? Those of you, the guys who watch action movie, those warrior kind of movie, those adventurous movies, you see that they have something that they use to throw those small arrows before they have a machine. There's a movie called Baobali. If you have watched it before, you will see that they invented a huge seat on a cart, on animals or on camel, a huge machine that can throw about 1,000 arrows at a time. When they release one, poof, it will throw 1,000 at a time. Now that is what technology. Say technology. Uzziah was the one who brought it. Uzziah was the one who brought it. He invented. It was not in existence. This 16 years guy God chose brought those ideas. He invented to shoot arrows and catapult large stones for use on the towers and the corners. How to catapult large stones? You don't watch some movies, that's why you don't know what I'm talking about. But there is a way that they can throw a huge stone. The same movie, Baobali, if you watch it, there's a huge stone that was thrown. And it was an invention for. So when I was watching that movie, I said, this movie is very, very biblical. Hey! Because all the weapons they were using, Uzziah manufactured them. Uzziah. Uzziah. Finish. So his fame spread even to distant places. His fame spread to faraway places. For he was marvelously helped until he became strong. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. Say it again. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. Again, he was marvelously helped until he became strong. Say, I will be marvelously helped until I become strong. One more time. I will be marvelously helped until I become strong. Clap your two hands if you believe that. He was marvelously helped until he became strong. And I like, the Bible didn't say he was marvelously helped by God alone. The Bible says he was marvelously helped because there were soldiers who helped him. There were elders who were bringing ideas. The Bible says that for he made it through what? Skillful men. If you read verse 14, skillful men. So he was young, but God blessed him with good people. You see, that is where you are there, and then this one gives you a car. You are there, this one gives you a house. You are there, this one says, marry my daughter. You are there, like, things are just happening. This one connects you to this contract. That one connects you to that contract. And then you sit back and in 1 year, you have become marvelously rich. And you sit there like, how did it all happen? That is the story. Say, I will be marvelously helped. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Sit down. So let me quickly lift some things for you. Then we are out of this place. For today, we'll continue. Now I've given you the whole story. So when I say something, you know where it is. Quick. Now, so lessons that we derive from Uzziah's story, from King Uzziah's story. The lessons that we derive. Hey, let's look at when God is helping a man according to Uzziah's life. When God is helping a man. You will know when God is helping a man by looking at the things that happen to the person. And in Uzziah's case, certain things happened to Uzziah that tells us that God was helping him marvelously. Number one, when God is helping a man, he makes up for his disadvantages. when God is helping a man, he covers his disadvantage. Se nyame e bo nipa ono nyankopon e ma ni disadvantage ni sin tono okataso okatasa nipa ni sin toso na waye bibi di abo ano. When God is helping a man, he covers your disadvantage so that he can help you. He was only 16 years, and that was a disadvantage. Just like if you are coming from this part of the world, from Africa, we believe that children must not talk. And so if you are young, you are not accepted. Especially as a pastor, you are not accepted. As maybe people gather and then it's a wedding, and then this young pastor gets up, hey, it will be a problem. Amen. Young people are not allowed to speak or even are not given audience. That's African culture. And that was a disadvantage for Uzziah. Uzziah was 16 years. So people will look down upon him. Bible says that woe unto you when your leader is what? A youth. When your leader is a child. That means that when a leader is a child and he doesn't have wisdom, you'll be in trouble. That's why people don't like a child to be a leader. But when God wants to help a child, he makes him capable. He gives him certain things that covers up his deficiencies so that we will only see his successes and not see his deficiencies. I get what I'm saying. So he was 16 years and immature when he assumed office. Yet God covered up for his immaturity with wise and skillful men. God gave him wise people. God gave him wisdom and skillful people. People who are good so that they can do things. I've come this far by the grace of God with all the branches and all the things God has done in my life as a young man because of the wisdom, number one, and because of the people God gave me, the skillful people that I have around me. Skillful people. That's a lot of things are happening at the same time. It's because of certain people that God gave me. May you have some. I said, even though you are young, even though you are immature, even though you don't have what you are looking for, but when God is helping you, he makes up for your disadvantages. May God cover your disadvantages. So according to Uzziah, in 2 Chronicles 26, the Bible said that he was 16 years old. And then verse 15, Bible says that he made devices in Jerusalem, invented by skillful men. So the devices were made by skillful men. He didn't use his hand to make them. He only directed it by skillful men. When he tells them, I need something that can shoot arrow plenty at the same time, then the skillful men will sit down and say, what our senior pastor is thinking is great. How can we make it happen? Then they start thinking. By the time you're like, pam, it has happened. The next time you will dream, may God give you people who make that dream possible. You didn't hear what I said. I said the next time you have an idea, do you know that sometimes you have an idea but you don't have the money to implement it? You have an idea but you don't have the capacity, the machinery, the industry, the connection to make it happen. When God is helping a man, he covers up for his inefficiencies. He covers up for his disadvantages. And he gives you wisdom and skillful people so that they can help you. I pray that may God help you through wisdom. May God help you through skillful people. Put your one hand on and say, Lord, help me with wisdom. Help me with skillful people. Help me with rich people. Help me with people who have what it takes, who have the resources, who have the connections, who have the machinery. Help me, Lord. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Number two. When God is helping a man, according to Uzziah, he doesn't consult his family history or background. When God is helping a man, he doesn't consult your family background or your family history, who your father is or who your mother is or where you are coming from. He doesn't consult it. He just helps you. God doesn't consult. That's why we never knew who Nelson Mandela's father was, but God helped him. We don't know who Kwame Nkrumah's father was, but God helped him. People came out of nowhere, and yet they became prominent. I pray that irrespective of a family name that you don't have, God will lift you up. You are not here. I said God will lift you up. I said God will lift you up. I said God will help you. And you will have a name, and you will become prominent. The Bible said that King Uzziah had a father by name Amaziah. Everybody say Amasia. And it will not matter to you if you don't know the story of Amasia. But if you know the story of Amasia, you know why the Bible wrote it. Because Amasia was a man who started with God and enjoyed some successes and failed God. Started worshipping idols and caused a lot of havoc. That was the man Amasia. Caused a lot of havoc. After he became powerful, he changed, he disappointed God and he failed God. Not just Amasia, but Amasia's father called Joash. Joash also rose up. God blessed Joash and made him prominent. And then Joash disappointed God. Started worshiping. In fact, Joash waited when his pastor died. Then he changed the whole church into shrine. Everybody in Israel were now worshiping idol. He waited though. Like some of you, you wait when I'm not there. Then you manifest. As long as his pastor was alive, he was following and being a good king. The moment his pastor died, he turned the church into shrine. The whole of Israel were worshipping idols, and God killed him. So his grandfather failed. His father failed. Now, such a person, will God select him? You have a history. In fact, when you go to the hospital, why do they ask you that? Do you have this sickness in your family? Do you know anybody who has this diabetes? Do you know? Why do they ask you? Because there is a mystery about family history. There's a mystery. Both biologically and spiritually, it is approved. It is confirmed. There's a mystery. There's a connection between you and your family, whether you like it or not. It's a mystery of humanity that there's a connection. Even scientists, without any scientific reasoning, will ask you that, do you have anybody who has this cholesterol? Do you have a history of leprosy? Do you have a history of something? They always ask you. Asthma. They will ask you. Something you can see. Mother has asthma. Children has asthma. Grandchildren has asthma. It's serious. They will ask you for history. But when God selects you, he changes your history. When God wants to help you, he doesn't consult your past. Tell somebody about you. God will not consult your past to determine your future. He will not consult your background to determine where he's lifting you up to. Because if God had consulted the history and the background of King Uzziah, then God shouldn't help him. Because there's an adage that says, well, like father. So what the grandfather did, the father has done. What shows that this guy will be different? But God still did not consult the history. Some of you, God wants to help you, but you yourself are telling God that your mother is nobody, your father couldn't marry, your mother couldn't marry, all your sisters could not, all your aunties could not. And so, God, are you sure that I can marry? Say no! When God is helping you, he doesn't consult your family history. I pray that anybody here who has a negative family history, may God cover it up. May God help you irrespective. May God help you irrespective. May God help you irrespective. Clap your two hands and say, help me, Lord. Say, help me, Lord. Say, help me, Lord. God, for someone like me, I have a family history of pastors. Some made it, some did not make it. I have a family history. My direct father failed. And then I have come in. My uncle was here some years ago, about 4 years ago. And when he saw that, even he didn't even come during church service. He came in the afternoon because he was passing through. He saw my face and then he came. He said, this guy never told us he had a church like this. And he climbed up here only to come and see. Because I've been hiding from family people. So, and then when he came, I had only my leaders here praying. Then he told me something. He says, you remind me of your father. Because he's my father's senior brother. You remind me of your father. He was a pastor. All of us, we just followed him to become pastors. Your father. He used to fill Orion Cinema. And me, I don't know where Orion Cinema, they say it was a circle. He used to fill Orion Cinema with mega services. He says, but your father failed. He said, I was one of your father's pastors. But I followed your father to become a pastor because he was making it. He was the one called. I'll start with him before he died. He said, when I was a pastor, Bishop Anasari, the one you are following, he was not even around. That when we were, those days when the white men come, they relate with us. mean, I was the best in Bible school. He was telling me his history, looking at his track record and things. He says that the Bishop Nasari that you are following now, Beno Sofweji war, I'm a Puna Aliame. But he failed. If God wants to raise another pastor, he shouldn't consider me. He shouldn't consider me because my father failed him. So he shouldn't consider me. He shouldn't. But when God wants to help a man, he doesn't look at the family history. Listen, you may not be a pastor. Maybe God put money into the hands of your father very early in life, and he turned into a monster, turned into a womanizer, married and gave birth with many people, lived a certain way of life, and now you are praying that God should help you, and God wants to put money into your hands. I pray for you that may God not consult the disappointment of your father. May God not consult what your uncle did when they got money, when they got a business, when they got an industry, when they married their wife, when God prospered them. I pray that may God prosper you. May your case be different. Say, my case will be different. Clap your two hands together for them. When God helps a man, he doesn't consult his past. Number 3. When God is helping a man, he makes him a builder and restorer of the broken walls at a record time. He makes him a builder. When God took up this little boy, God turned him into a builder. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 26 verse 2 that he built the port Elot. He built the port Elot in Egypt. 16 years boy. What his fathers lost, what his grandfathers lost because of sin, when he took over, he rebuilt it. He rebuilt it. When God is helping you, he gives you the anointing of a builder. Say, the anointing of a builder. Say, the anointing of a builder. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 12, the Bible says that when you fast and you pray, the Bible says that then they shall be of thee. They that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach. Say, I shall raise up the foundation of my family. Shall you prophesy for yourself? I'm closing. Say, I shall raise up the foundation of my family. Whatever my father lost, whatever my mother's lost, whatever my father's lost, whatever have been destroyed in my family, say, I will be the rebuilder. I will be the builder of it. I will raise the foundations where my father ended. I will continue from there. 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 Every broken walls of my family, the walls of prosperity, the walls of marriage, the walls of business empires, the walls of blessing, I will rebuild the walls. I will rebuild the walls as I fast and pray. Clap your two hands together for them. That was the young man Elot. I am determined to make it beyond my father. I'm determined. That's why anything I know about his story, the good side I want to pick, the bad side I want to avoid. That's the foolishness of the young. They don't listen to stories. They don't like listening to stories. I've told you that sit your father down and ask him about his life. You will be shocked that some of the things that are happening to you happened to him. You will be shocked. I never stayed with my father. But when I grew up and I got a chance to meet him, I realized that the music I was struggling as a Christian to stop listening to is actually his favorite music. I saw them packed on his table. Yet I never stayed with him. Lucky Dube. Lucky Dube. Yet I never stayed with him. Don't joke with what I'm telling you. Sit your mother down, auntie. This fresh girl thing. Your mother used to be fresher than you. I'm telling you. Tell somebody, listen. The reason why young people repeat the mistakes of their fathers is because they don't talk to their fathers. You see, Africa, we have been trained to be afraid of our fathers. So you don't talk to your fathers. You don't talk to your mothers. You don't have conversation. So your friends know you than your parents. Mm-hmm. Your parents should be your friend. That's the difference between the Western world and Africa. We don't have relations. We can't play with our children for our children to play with us. So we don't get the apple before they die. I remember when my father died, as I was standing by his grave, before they covered him, before they covered him, they asked me to put the sand or whatever. As I took the sand and I stood by his casket and he was in the hole, I said something. I said, Lord, help me to continue from where he failed. Help me to continue from where he left off. Then I said to him, I said, Daddy, I don't know much, but the little I know about you, I know you're a great man, but you couldn't manifest your destiny fully. You ended somewhere and the devil took over. But I will continue from where you left off. I told him, I said, I will continue and I will finish and I'll make you proud. That's what I told him. He said, be determined that you will be the builder. And you know that what I told him has started. It was 2020 during the COVID that I buried my father. Afterwards, my father, when he was alive, had a church at Men's Club, Neighbor's Chapel. Recently, I went to the area. I went to the back. I was trying to look for the building because I've been there before. One day, my mother sacked me to go and look for school fees. So I went there. So I've been there before. By then, it wasn't as nice as that. They used to call it Mango Lane. So as a little boy, I've been taken there by my sister because I was trying to look for the building he was occupying. He had a school, a big school there. That not that somebody said, I've been there, I saw students, class to class, and all that. Teachers, canteen, whatever. He had a school. In those days, there was no school there. He had microfinance. These three businesses was running Men's School. And was one of the early people who were into microfinance in Accra here. My uncle even confirmed that. So he got money quick. He started church quick. Became. Now guess where God has sent me to. Tell somebody, don't joke with spiritual things. Tell somebody, don't joke with spiritual things. That's where his last church ended. And that's where my church has started. That's where his last church ended. Yet I told him in the grave that I will make you proud. I said, God will help you. That's what I'm saying. I'm a testament of the help of God. I'm a testament of the help of God. And as I'm walking about, already, I know I'll do school there. What they are building there, in the design, there's school there. There's school, there's church. So already, I know the things that he failed over there, or the things he tried doing, that he succeeded to a point, I'm going to redo them. Now, you also have your own story. But God will help you. Clap your two hands for the Lord. I said, God will help you. Say, I will rebuild the wasted places. Say, I will rebuild the wasted places. Say, Ebusian we dear Ubian Ware. Who did say new yam be busianimo? They say Ebusian we dear memanina or mababa basa wunti your best sansa narration. Say Busan with their Korean Safonkwa. You will not end as a drunkard. I said, you will not end as a drunkard. You will not be there. You have given birth with three women and you are not married. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. Clap your two hands and rise up to you. There is power in the name.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.